Hello, listeners. It's so good to be back with you. I am Dr. Kanika Tomlin, and welcome to Just Getting Started, where we gather community leaders, opinion makers, change agents who are making a difference in this beautiful city of St. Petersburg that we love so much. I'm very excited about our guest today. We have with us Stephanie Owens, who is a longtime St. Pete resident. She served with both the Clinton and Obama administrations, making change on the national level, but she's also elbow deep in making change here in St. Pete, one of the many reasons that the sun shines so brightly. Today, Stephanie's going to tell us about some of the ways that she's making change in St. Pete and the brightest stars on the horizon as she sees them as it relates to voting, housing, and some new ventures that are on the horizon. So, Stephanie, welcome.
Thank you so much, Deputy Mayor. It is great to be here with you today. You
know, we've been trying to sit down for a minute or two. I watch you from afar, and I'm so inspired and so impressed with your legacy of service. So I'm deeply honored to have you sit across the table on our Just Getting Started show.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here.
Thank you for your time. So let's get right into it, because there's so much for us to talk about. I want to start with, if you could tell us a little bit about some of your work, so that our audience understands the perspective that you bring. I mentioned that you worked for the Clinton administration and Obama administration. What were some of the things that you did for them?
Well, in the Clinton administration, I focused on policy specific to procurement and rewriting that policy to increase opportunities for minority businesses.
Wow.
So that was exciting. I also had the opportunity to travel on the president's advance team with the president and the first lady and the vice president. So it was an amazing opportunity for this girl from Detroit to see the entire world. It was fantastic. And it was fantastic because you step off a plane in another country.
Right.
And you're not Stephanie, a woman. You're not Stephanie, an African-American. You are Stephanie Owens, representing the United States of America.
Now, that's tremendous.
It was an amazing opportunity. The other time that I spent with President Obama in the Obama administration was working on environmental issues for the Environmental Protection Agency. Had an amazing opportunity to work with Administrator Lisa Jackson, who is now a senior executive at Apple and carrying on their work.
Doing great work.
Absolutely. And one of our big initiatives was expanding the conversation on environmentalism, because oftentimes people think, oh, the environment, I'm not an environmentalist, but you are.
We all are.
If you like clean air and clean water.
That's right. Right? If you are an inhabitant of this planet Earth.
That's right.
Yeah.
So talking about those kinds of things in unique ways, not just the lead paint that affects some of our children and some of the more underserved communities, but also our cosmetics. What are we putting on our face? What are we putting on our bodies? What are those chemicals?
Right.
So helping people understand and connect to their inner environmentalist. And then I had the opportunity to help move forward the Affordable Care Act and to make sure that people understood, as much as it was affectionately called Obamacare, it's a law. Right. And it's a law that benefits all of us, especially right. those of us with pre-existing conditions and who are unable to get health care. So I had some amazing opportunities to work with a variety of leaders, like those in St. Petersburg, who were exceptional in helping to make sure that everyone had an opportunity to register for the Affordable Care Act, or to enroll for the Affordable Care Act.
And what a difference. I mean, such a legacy and huge portfolio of work and contributions that you've been able to make. And I'm just so proud of those contributions. Representation matters so much,
yes.
And it's beyond awesome to have you here now in our community, giving back in so many of the same ways. And, you know, growing up, I remember thinking, not knowing, how would one go to work in the White House for a president? But to have someone here who's blazed that path and done that work and is willing to be a mentor to others who want to make change on whatever level, national, state, locally, we're just so glad to have you here. So thank you for what you've done, and thank you for what you continue to do.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Here in our city, the bright, shining St. Pete, So this podcast, we call it Just Getting Started. And one of the things that you helped us do meaningfully was turn a page with the Housing Authority. Our listeners will recall that the St. Petersburg Housing Authority was in the media for quite some time with some negative connotations around things that were happening there. And lots of people had lots of thoughts, but very few knew the intricacies of what were unfolding. You stepped in right at the height of that, bringing all of your experience with a commitment to try to help recreate the Housing Authority in a way that would serve its mission best. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Because that work is just getting started in some pretty amazing ways.
Absolutely. We are definitely just getting started. And we're excited that we now have a new CEO on board, Mr. Michael Lundy, who is from many housing authorities, but most recently, the Birmingham Housing Authority.
Oh, good.
He has a variety of experiences, but mostly in partnerships. And we know that in St. Petersburg, we are most successful when we are partners and collaborators.
No question.
So that was one of the biggest things that I wanted to change about the Housing Authority. And I say I only because I'm the chair, but it's with all of the other commissioners as well. How do we weave all that the Housing Authority does into the fabric of the city? We shouldn't just be this standalone, isolated entity pushing out government programs. We are an important component of bringing meaningful opportunity to residents who need a place to live.
One of many partners creating equity in our housing space and landscape in our city. And as chair of the Housing Authority, which was a tenuous role to accept. I mean, thank you for that.
That's
leadership.
A word, tenuous.
As chair, you play a huge part in setting the tone, in setting the standard, in setting the transparency. And it has to have come with challenges, but it seems like it's also come with great opportunity. So what are some of the projects that are on the horizon that we might look forward to?
Certainly getting back on track with the redevelopment of Jordan Park. We know that that program or that development has had some fits and starts for the past 3 years. So we will definitely be ramping up our decision on how to move forward and then to start to immediately make that plan to move forward. That's number one. Number two, strengthening our resident services. And that's, again, where partnerships become much more important for us. So making sure that we can provide a greater variety of opportunities for residents to expand their ability to leave us on the public housing side, not our affordable housing side, but on the public housing side. Public housing isn't meant to be a permanent residence. It is a bridge, and it's our role to help our residents move on. We're more successful when our residents are turning over in and out.
By design.
By design, because yes. They've moved on to something greater. So that is absolutely the two pieces that are most important. And then the third is actually creating more affordable housing. And I've got to tell you, I see a silver lining to COVID because maybe a lot of businesses are deciding most people can telework. And maybe they'll leave some of that commercial real estate available for purchase. And I see amazing opportunities to create innovative, affordable housing.
I think you're right, Stephanie. We are certainly in a period of transition, and I don't think it's serendipitous that in the way it's going to unfold, it will have a lot to do with who we decide to be as a community and the way we decide to take hold of opportunities. So I'm with you. And as you're doing this work, you're bringing amazing leadership, but I know that there is so much support beside you and behind you, a great board of commissioners who are equally committed.
Absolutely.
And working hard. And I know that so many people, this was one of those hot button issues when it rose in our community and percolated to a point of boiling, that people in our community came forward with compassionate and authentic concern because equity in housing is important. And so for those who are interested, because there's still some room on your board, I believe. Absolutely. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
So any of the individuals who are listening, who are moved and have a passion for this work, you can use their skill sets. There's a place for their passion.
There is a place for their passion. There's a place for their skill.
And this is a mayor-appointed commission. So anyone who's interested in submitting their resume and being considered for this service should email us in City Hall at mayor@stpete.org. And we would love to consider your skills and talents for this important work. So we also have a comprehensive housing plan here in St. Pete. Are you familiar with that at all? And that's just getting started.
Exactly.
At this one kind of special time in history, we have a convergence of the resources, the willingness, the ability, and the right people in place to make some systemic, sustainable change as it relates to all the social determinants of a person's trajectory and their ability to realize their potential here in our community. We know that housing affordability sits right in the middle of that. So as you've seen, because you've seen housing from various perspectives around the country, what are some things that you think are important for St. Pete to keep an eye on as we move through our housing affordability plan?
Well, one of the things to keep an eye on is something that the city is already investing in, and that is specific to what makes housing affordable. Mm. We have some preconceived notions about what affordability is, and then we actually have government rules, regulations, and policies that talk specifically about the amount of income. Because of COVID, because of our economic situation, not just here in St. Pete, but nationally, we're going to have to change that. And our ability to better understand where people are financially is going to drive our ability to create the right stock for people.
Absolutely. And with all of our development, we really are requiring those who want to take advantage of the opportunities to be developers in St. Pete to understand our commitment across the board, whether it's commercial or residential, so that we create that right stock that allows us to pursue all of our other goals as it relates to economic development and transitioning through career ladder and all of the many elements that create quality of life. So if you want to learn more about our housing affordability plan, I encourage you to go to stpete.org/affordable housing. And it's all online. And one of the things I'm most excited about, Stephanie, and you'll appreciate this because I know that you have an appreciation for measured outcomes, our Neighborhood Affairs Administrator, Rob Gerdes, is working hard to create a dashboard that shows our progress as it relates to our affordable housing plan. Not only those pieces that have been completed, but he's also working to show real time what's being permitted, what's being requested, and keeping us on our toes as it relates to accountability toward those goals. We really are trying to match rhetoric with reality.
That's so important.
And make a change in people's lives in the way that they feel it and understand it and helped author it. It's an exciting time for us. So housing is just one piece of the many things that keep you busy here in our community. You never know where you might see Stephanie Owens shining smile and bright face. I know that you do a lot of work with the League of Women Voters as well.
Yes.
Tell me about that work, some of their priorities. And there's something coming up October 5th?
Yes, absolutely. But I think the most important date right now is July 20th.
Oh, tell us why.
That is the day that voter registration closes.
Okay.
And so it is incredibly important that not only you register to vote, but you check your registration. There are times when the supervisor of elections might have sent you some official mail and it was returned, and they actually use that as a flag to determine that perhaps you are ineligible to vote.
Wow, yeah.
And so you may have moved, they may have sent you a vote by mail ballot, for example, that was returned. So you definitely both want to register to vote. You want to check your registration to make sure you're registered to vote. The other piece about voting that's important, and all of the information that I'm sharing, is on League of Women Voters, stpete.org, LWVSPA.org. So on our website, you'll find all of this information. We are working very hard on a vote by mail campaign, and we've collaborated with many community partners to develop something that we think is culturally relevant and culturally forward that will really get people to understand the importance of voting by mail, not as a process, but as a matter of prevention and preparedness. So think about it like the hurricane. If you heard a hurricane was coming, bread and water, you'd stock up on it just in case.
Just in case.
Requesting your vote by mail ballot is just that. It's just in case. COVID is unpredictable. And our supervisor of elections is working very hard to make sure that the county is prepared for a fair, equitable, and easy election. But we don't know what's going to happen with COVID. And we saw what happened in March.
That's right.
So you want to request your ballot as a safety measure. And if you decide that you don't want to use it, go to early vote, give it back to them, and then cast a regular ballot.
It's an important access that we all have a right to, and it's great for us to approach voting with that level of diligence. I think that's very important. Now, can you request that vote by mail ballot at any time, or is there a deadline by which that must be requested?
You can request the vote by mail ballot at any time up until 10 days before the election.
10 days before the election.
Our primary is August 18th, so until August 8th.
Until August 8th.
But don't do that. Please don't do that, because will you get it in time? Maybe not. And will you be able to fill it out and put it in the mail in time? Maybe not. So I encourage everyone to request their ballot today. You can do it online. You can call the supervisor of elections office to get your ballot at 727-464-8683.
464-8683.
That's right. And they will send it to you.
There's no reason to delay.
There's absolutely no reason to delay. And of course, this election is important, but all elections are important.
Every single election. And, you know, we have such a very active populace that is very engaged. Our citizenry has no problem using their voices, and we welcome that. It's such a great time in our nation and our community where people are stepping up and talking about those things that matter. And every bit of that matters. But it must be backed up with that active vote, because that's where we register that voice.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, not only must it be backed up with the active vote, but more conversation about the democracy ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one and done. You don't just vote and then wait 2 years later to see what's going to happen.
That's right.
Democracy is not a spectator sport, right? You have to engage.
Constant engagement.
We see people on the streets, engaging right now, making their voices heard. But we also see the people who come out for council meetings and they have comments that they want to make. You have to continue to engage in order to make the system work completely.
I think that's really important. And citizen engagement is not new to St. Pete at all, but we are just getting started with some very intentional and purposeful interactions between concerned citizens and the decision-making bodies that decide the course by which our community will move forward. And we have high hopes for what will come out of that. High hopes. I know that the League of Women Voters will walk right along with us. So
absolutely.
Thank you in advance
absolutely.
For all of that work. And for many Floridians, their opportunity to participate in democracy, that's just getting started. Amendment 4 was passed not too long ago, and this really is the first round of elections where we will see the restoration of those rights exercised. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So the voters overwhelmingly voted to give returning citizens a second chance and have their right to vote, and that happened in 2018. In 2019, however, the legislature decided that they needed to put some rules or guidelines around the right that the people voted for, which has caused a tremendous amount of confusion, because those guidelines that they established, the League of Women Voters, ACLU, NAACP, and other organizations did not find that they were fair to people, and they filed a lawsuit, which we won.
Huge victory.
5 weeks ago. However, the state appealed. And that lawsuit, the judge's decision, which opened up the opportunity for all returning citizens to have this opportunity to register to vote, that decision was stayed by the 11th Circuit Court just a week ago. The judge decided that asking people to pay fees was a form of a poll tax because the fees that people pay support the operation of government. These were not fees that people were paying. They weren't fines. It wasn't something that they were paying the victims, for example. These were just fees that government charged to run government. The judge decided that that was an equivalent to a poll tax. And that is what opened up the opportunity for returning citizens who had not paid all of their fees and fines to then have an opportunity to register. However, because of the stay with the 11th Circuit, we, the League of Women Voters, ACLU, and others, are encouraging only those returning citizens who are sure that they've paid their fees and fines to register to vote. And that's 200,000 people in the state of Florida.
Wow.
And remember, the governor's election in 2018 was decided by less than 33,000 votes.
And this is the significance of this title change.
Absolutely.
It introduces an entire new perspective to the voting process and people's ability to vote, and may very well change outcomes as we move forward. So this is an engagement in which we must stay fastidious and make sure that as the people have spoken, so we see it unfold.
We should. You know, there's one other thing I should probably mention. There is a new Amendment 4 that's on the ballot this year. That Amendment 4 strips almost all of the rights from the citizens to create a citizen's petition. So the same way the 2018 Amendment 4 made it onto the ballot, right, this Amendment 4 would make it impossible. They're both called Amendment 4. Imagine that. I don't think it was a mistake. So I would encourage listeners to understand what they are voting for. And one of the ways to understand that is to read the League of Women Voters Voter Guide, which is online.
So helpful.
Yes. And we provide information about this new Amendment 4 so that we're very clear about what it does and what it doesn't do. But your listeners should understand that we're talking about two totally different things.
There is so much to learn and to follow up on. Once you decide that you care about a cause or an issue is catalyzed, really, that's just the beginning.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love that we're talking about this on Just Getting Started, because it really is that you're just getting started. Then the responsibility is to learn as much as you can, do as much as you can, and invite other people into that circle of education. And that's certainly what you've done today for us, Stephanie. So thank you for sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing all of your experience to our community to make it a better place. And we look forward to experiencing it all together, because we have so much to look forward to as we are just getting started.
Well, I'm just getting started too. I've actually launched a small nonprofit called Women Talk Black, so that we can focus on some of these issues, but in a much smaller space, and provide education and opportunity for everyone to be able to get engaged in this work.
So exciting.
Our democracy is important.
And that's going to be based in St. Pete?
Based in St. Pete.
That's wonderful. Just another way our city is growing stronger and smarter and brighter. I can't wait to get involved with that. Please let me know how I can.
That's a promise, right?
That's a promise, right, for sure.
It's on tape, right? Thank you so much, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Please join us. Stay tuned for future episodes of Just Getting Started, where we'll continue to explore the many ways St. Pete is moving meaningfully along its trajectory from great city to iconic one. There are so many ways we are pursuing our mission and living our vision and our values, and you are a big part of that. And remember, we're just getting started. I'll see you soon.
Please note, since this recording, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld an appellate court's decision to temporarily block Amendment 14, making it unlikely that hundreds of thousands of Floridians will be allowed to cast a ballot in the state's primary next month and possibly in November's presidential election.